You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Welcome, everyone, to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, board-certified plastic surgeon. Hey, is this procedure that I've been reading about and watching on YouTube and I saw on Instagram, is it right for me? That's the question that all of you really need to think about and to ask when you're going in to see your plastic surgeon. Because every single office hour that I am involved in, and there's been a lot recently, which is all really good and exciting because so many of you have now either had to go back to work or you're thinking about, you know, starting back into seeing your fellow workers, clients that you may have to go out to see now, and you're going back to the office as opposed to just staying home and being on Zoom calls. So many of you are coming in because you really just want to look really, really sharp. You want to look fresh. You want to look like, you know, this pandemic has really actually been, in a way, made you look healthier, made you look even younger, made you look, you know, more refreshed. And I understand that. And I think it's wonderful. And that's why all of us as plastic surgeons across the country have been as busy as we are, is that we really are trying to, you know, get to work and do all these things. And so many of us had to just, you know, quiet down for all these months. But you know, when you're on your phone or you know, when you're on your computer and you're watching so many YouTube chat, so many YouTube things that are going on in the world of plastic surgery, or you're looking at Instagrams of people that you may know or celebrities, they may be talking about a lot of very cool procedures. They may be talking about some brand new products that have just come onto the market, and there are so many of them. However, are they right for you? And that's really the essence of going to see your plastic surgeon and really having a heart-to-heart discussion and a real honest assessment about what you really want to look like, what you really want to do, the timing of when to do it, and is this, you know, something that is going to give you the actual look that you're going for? And I'll give you a couple examples. So something that's very, very, I guess, almost intuitive is that so many of you, when you come in to see me, may think that you're a phenomenal candidate for liposuction. Because at the end of the day, what we think about when we think about liposuction is that there's a pocket of fat or a lot of fat around your body that you just don't want to have anymore. You want to have it sucked away. And that's what this whole liposuctioning thing is, isn't it? You just come in, you get some liposuction, you get some fat sucked away, and everything should be fine. However, although that is what liposuctioning truly is, you know, when you really distill it down to what it is, it's a way of getting rid of unwanted fat by literally spot reducing it in the areas where you just don't want it to be. So that really is, in essence, what liposuction is. However, are you someone that has a lot of skin laxity in conjunction with some of the fat that you don't like? Because if that's the case, liposuctioning alone is probably not going to be the ultimate result that you're going for. True, we may be able to suck away that unwanted fat, but what is it going to leave you looking like when it's done? These are the kinds of things that take years of experience of being in the plastic surgery world and doing plastic surgery for so many years. But that's why you need to actually come in and talk to a plastic surgeon, or come in and really have a real honest consultation about not just let me hear about this particular procedure, but hey, am I actually a good candidate for what I've been reading up and studying up? Because listen, you all know this. There is not a lack of information on the web or out there. You know, nowadays, everyone has the capability of studying up on almost everything that you could possibly think of. You know this for, you know, when you guys come in to see me for a consultation, you have read up on everything. If there's a new lip filler, you know everything there is to know about that lip filler. If there's a new Botox that's coming out, because there are a few new ones by the end of the summer that'll be out. And I'm sure all of you are going to be reading about it. And when you come in to ask me about that Botox, then we have to start talking about, well, is that particular kind going to give you the result that you're asking for? And that's what we're talking about here. It's also the same thing when it comes to facelifts. How many of you look in the mirror and think to yourself, I really have to do something about this skin laxity. I have to do something about the way my face looks because I really look older. And not only do I look older, but my skin just doesn't look so good. And before you know it, you start to look up things on the internet about facelifts. Well, when you finally come in to talk to me, or when you go to see your plastic surgeon, and basically you're coming in to say, you know what, I need a facelift, it may turn out that there are other things that could be done with a better result that would give you the look that you're really going for without even having to do a facelift. And let me give you a perfect example of this. A woman came in the other day who's in really phenomenal shape. And because, again, she hasn't gone out of the house for so many months, she's come in and she said, just like I was just explaining to you, her main thing was, hi, Dr. Davis, I'm here because I need a facelift. So when that usually happens, I got to be honest with you. I, you know, have been trained as a physician, as a doctor from day one. So I always want to hear symptoms. It's kind of like if you went to see your family doctor or your internist and you went in and said, doc, I've got pneumonia. The doctor would probably say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What are some of your symptoms? Do you have a cough? Do you have a fever? When you're coughing, are you bringing up any like mucus? What's the color of the mucus? I mean, I don't want to get disgusting here, but I'm saying there would be symptoms to why you would finally get diagnosed with pneumonia. Similarly, when you're coming in to see me for a concern that you may have, I'm not necessarily asking you about symptoms. But what I'm asking you about is when you look in the mirror, and I'll give you that mirror, and we're looking at it together, what is it that you're seeing in the mirror that you don't like? To me, that's kind of like a symptom. So instead of coming in and saying, I've got pneumonia, or I need a facelift, it's more like, okay, tell me what you're looking at in the mirror right now that every day when you're putting your makeup on bothers you. So in this particular case, this really wonderful, in-shape woman said, these lines that are right around my nose area and my mouth, I think you call them nasolabial folds or smile lines. I said, yeah. I said, that's what bothers you? And she said, yeah. I said, so your jawline looks fine to you? Oh, yeah, she said. I said, your neck looks good. She goes, you know what? I think my neck looks really good for my age. She said, yeah, the thing that really bothers me are these nasolabial creases, folds, laugh lines, whatever you want to call it. And that's when I told her, you don't need a facelift. This is all injectable filler territory. If I can put the facial fillers in the proper locations around your nasolabial area, around your cheek area, I can make those creases or those deep nasolabial lines filled out. No need for a facelift for that. She was unbelievably excited and happy. And let's do one better. She had it done that day, that minute in that office hour visit. it didn't take any, you know, downtime. She didn't have to plan for a surgery. She didn't have to take off, you know, time now she's going to be going back to work. So she didn't even have to think that she was going to have to do that. So my point is, and I could give you many, many examples of this to extrapolate this out, but the bottom line to all of this is learning about a particular procedure, learning about a particular product is very important. And, you know, I always say that a very educated patient is one of the best patients that you can have because they really do know all the appropriate questions to ask. You know, you would know a lot of the nuances of things, so that I think an informed patient is wonderful. However, it's up to us as the plastic surgeon to really be able to tell you, is what you've been investigating appropriate for you? And at the end of the day, that's really what I think is going to make you as the patient the happiest patient possible. And it will also be something that you could reiterate and talk about and educate some other people about, so that when you're at a party or if you're on the phone talking about, you know, different things, it's almost like a pop culture type of a thing at this point, plastic surgery, so that if you do get involved in that kind of a conversation, you're going to really even have more information now about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate for certain looks and certain ages, and just understanding overall the concepts of why some of these procedures and products would be good for certain people and for other people it wouldn't. And, you know, one of the last things that I want to talk about is the idea that just because a new procedure or a new technology has come out, many times that technology, and I want to be careful about how I'm saying this to you, but many times that technology is a technology that's looking for the exact appropriate patient. And what I mean by that is we have been fortunate over 25 years to have been a practice where many device companies and companies that really wanted to showcase their new products or their new design of things have come so that I could demo these technologies or these new procedures. And we've been on Dr. Oz many times with this. We've been on The Doctor Show, and a lot of Inside Edition episodes happen to be with us doing these brand new procedures. But at the end of the day, a lot of these, you know, nuanced procedures are for a very small window or a very small subsection of the population. So when you're reading about these new products or you're reading about these very new technologies that have come out, it's important to understand that it may have been FDA approved. It may work very, very well, but it works very, very well on a specific candidate. And if you happen to not know if you're that good of the specific candidate, you may end up going to a facility that will take your money and you will not get a result from that technology. Now, that can happen for a lot of different reasons, but at the end of the day, just be very, very sure, again, that you're meeting all the specifications that are required in order for this, let's say, new technology to really work for you. And one of the quintessential technologies that come to mind as an example happen to be CoolSculpting, because I can tell you, we jumped on board with CoolSculpting way back in, I believe, 2010. It was FDA approved in 2009, and we saw the benefits of it almost immediately. When I went to a few plastic surgery meetings around the country, I saw some before and afters. I had an opportunity to speak with some of the doctors that were at the forefront of developing the technology, and I was convinced that this is going to be this unbelievable way of doing fat removal without doing surgery, literally by just freezing your own fat cells. It was incredible. And since that time, it's just gotten better and better and more advanced, just like, you know, an iPhone over the course of time. There are new generations and new techniques and new technologies. Well, the applicators and the whole process of cool sculpting has just gotten better. And we happen to see really, really excellent results from it. But, and this is what I want to make sure that I'm making this statement about, it's a technology that works very well for the right candidate. And that's one of the most popular ones that we have come, you know, when you come into the office to talk about it, that's one of the first things that have been advertised out there, that you'll come in and say, I want to do cool sculpting. And the question should really be, again, am I a good candidate for cool sculpting? Because if you're not, we happen to even have other technologies and other modalities that may be more appropriate for you to get the result that you're looking for. You've been listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. I'll look forward to speaking with you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.